This week, marriage. This week, what a husband is to render his wife and what a wife is to render her husband. Well, you don't like that word, render. That sounds too much like a computer file. No, it's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the disposition, how's that, of a husband toward a wife and a wife toward a husband that will lead toward happiness. I think marriage is a great institution. No, it does not lead you to an institution. I shouldn't have called it an institution. It is an arrangement arranged by God to teach us things. And we're going to get into this in Ephesians 5. I'm going to show you what this teaches. It teaches humility. It teaches patience. It teaches service. It teaches the reception of service. Did you know that many women feel they are unworthy to be loved by a man? I never knew this before. I thought, why would somebody want to push love away? Well, I guess if you've been hurt or abused by men, then you no longer trust men. Now, this is a sad state of affairs in this country, and I don't doubt other countries, except I think our Western nations, it's far more prevalent here. Maybe I'll get into why I think that is. Just had a friend that went to India, and he's saying there that there are arranged marriages. Yeah, still going on in India. I actually don't think that's too bad of a thing. You know, love is a choice. It's not an emotional attachment to someone. It's not lust. It's not a feeling. You can't paint it. You can't draw it on the cover of a Harlequin romance novel. And you probably can't depict it on a movie screen with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I'm just saying, I don't know. That's just me. Love is a commitment. Love is, well, the ideal form of love, I'll just say agape love, God's love, is unconditional love. It's love that loves without considering the worthiness of the other person. Yeah, I used to think that it's true that women are never told anywhere in the scriptures to love their husbands. They're told to be fond of them in Titus, I think it is. And of course in Ephesians 5, where I'm going to be going this week, men are told, husbands, love your wives. And so I used to think, I'm kind of changing on this, I used to think that meant that wives weren't supposed to love their husbands. But this is what I think it is. I think that, no, I'm serious about it. I think that women just naturally love. They give. They're more committed, generally speaking. They have bigger hearts, more generally speaking. It's almost as if they don't need the exhortation men do. Because we just want to, you know, go watch football and eat salted nuts. And a lot of us are nuts. I know that. I know you women are complaining about us. We're not all the same. But yeah, a lot of us get on that lazy boy recliner. I hate that stuff. I really do. I can't even imagine sitting around watching television, video games. I hear that a lot of women are video game widows, and I think that's really bad. NFL widows. What the? Oh, I just can't believe that. That's so sad. All right. Now, the Apostle Paul, he doesn't tell us to do the right thing until he informs us of God's acceptance of us. None of this is a law that I'm telling you. None of this I'm saying you have to do in order for God to like you or to be gracious to you. That's not it at all. In fact, Paul makes sure of that by not ever telling you to behave yourself until after he's told you how much God accepts you, how much God loves you, how much you're to be seated at his right hand. He makes sure you know that you can't blow it, and only then does he tell you the proper way to behave. Let me give you an example before we go into Ephesians 5. Romans is full of doctrine from chapter 1 through chapter 11. We learn about justification, we learn about conciliation, we learn about the salvation of all, and only then does chapter 12 come up, and Paul says, I am entreating you then, that's the most important word of this verse, Romans 12:1. I am entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, your logical, divine service. I am entreating you then. What does he mean, I'm entreating you then? He's basically saying, based on everything I told you from chapter 1 through chapter 11 about how you're accepted by God, how God is at peace with you, apart from your sin, in spite of your sin, because of that, I'm entreating you then to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You see, if you put this well-pleasing before the doctrine, you're going to think that you're going to have to please him in order for him to justify you and be conciliated to you. That's why all this stuff comes later. Please don't forget that. And now we go to Ephesians, and it's the same thing. In Ephesians, we find that because we're justified, we're going to someday be glorified. And Ephesians gives us a glimpse behind the curtain into our coming glorification. Chapter 2, we're to be seated among the celestials in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. So Paul goes on in this vein for chapter 2, chapter 3, and then chapter 4 starts it this way. I am entreating you then, I, the prisoner of the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all humility, meekness, patience. Walk worthily of what calling? The calling he has just told you about in chapters 1 through 3. You're seated among the celestials in Christ. Well, not actually right now. I'm actually seated in Pennsylvania now, but this is a figure of speech called prolepsis, God calling what is not as if it were. And we're to anticipate this, of course, but in the meantime, we're to walk pleasing to the Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to. Not taking you back to Mount Sinai, that's for sure. All right, so now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's talk about the wives. I'm going to talk to you wives first, because that's the way Paul does it. 22, let the wives be subject to their own husbands. Oh, man, now I've done it. That's right. Who wants to? No, oh, this is epidemically bad in our society. And that's what I was speaking of in Indian society. Women understand this subjection to their husbands in many of the Asian cultures and the Far Eastern cultures. In the West, women have been tricked into thinking that they are the heads of their own estates. I'm not saying a woman, I'm going to really modify all of this, so hang in with me. Don't change that dial. Women are quite able to do things quite better than most men. That's acknowledged. And I'm going to show you this. This is part of the headship of men. As soon as men get all proud that I'm the head of the home, I tell them why they're the head, and then it totally humiliates them, which I love to do. I love to humiliate you proud, arrogant husbands who lord it over your wives and think you're better than them. You're not. I hate to tell you, but they're better than you. All right, we're going to get to that. You women are going to love this, okay? After I make you mad here, I'm going to make you very happy, so don't change the dial. Hang in there with me. Let the wives be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the ecclesia. Christ is the head of the church. So this is all a parable you're going to see. Marriage is a parable of Christ's relationship to the church, to his people. I hate to use that word church, so I'll just use the word the concordant uses, which is ecclesia. It means a called out company. You can't go to church. You are church. It's a called out group of people. So we're seeing a living enactment on the earth today of Christ's relationship with the ecclesia. The problem with Christ's relationship to the ecclesia is most of the time invisible. The ecclesia members are scattered all over the planet. Christ has this invisible bond with them, and we see it enacted practically in the earth with a husband and a wife. And the husband is to love and cherish his wife, and the wife is to be subject to the husband. Just gave you a big clue there about why a woman would even want to be subject to a husband. This is all ideal. This is all the ideal situation. And I know that the ideal does not exist today. But as members of the body of Christ, especially, we are to pursue it. Again, not because we're pursuing law, not because we have to please God or else, but because his Spirit makes its home in us. Because we know we're justified and conciliated to him apart from anything we do. All right, I got time to make this big point, and this is it. I can't let you ladies go one more day, you know, thinking that I'm just telling you be subject to your husbands because he's better than you. Okay, look at this. Let the wives be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, listen to this verse from 1 Corinthians 12:24, because you're going to remember last week I told you that. Was it last week or the week before? In Eden, I saw the creation as progressive, as improving. Remember, I said God went from the seaweed to the tadpole to the shark, you know, to the lizard, right? To the opossum, to the elephant, whatever. Then he created Adam, and then we assume he stopped getting better. He stopped improving it. No, Eve is Adam 2.0, and I think Eve has the edge. I think women have the edge on men in a lot of different categories, most categories. But listen to this verse in 1 Corinthians 12:24. God gives to that which is deficient more exceeding honor. Yeah, that's right. You husbands who are so proud of yourselves that you're head of the home. Well, you're the head of the home because God gives to that which is deficient more exceeding honor. This is a trial for all of us. It's a test. It's okay. It's like God gives women all these gifts and then says to the women, are you humble enough to accept the headship of another person? Are you humble enough to accept the headship of someone who's deficient? This is a lesson for you wives out there. Likewise, to husbands, he's saying it's like giving the bad kid in the classroom the privilege of cleaning the chalk erasers. It's like you take the kid who really, he needs a little help. We'll put him in charge of something, give him more responsibility. The kid rises to the occasion. He becomes a better person. Likewise, with you husbands out there, you're deficient in many ways. Therefore, God gives you the headship. And now you are to grow into that as you look to Christ as your example. Wow, this is, I like the way this is starting. I hope I've said something helpful to you today. I'm going to try to do the same thing tomorrow, that is, say something helpful. Until then, love each other, stay with each other, and really lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. This is Martin Zender. Be back here tomorrow.